It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Abounding Grace. If you were with us yesterday, you know we started outlining a book, reviewing a book, Christless Christianity, the Alternative Gospel of the American Church. And this was written by Michael Horton, published by Baker Books 2008. So it's a new book. I would ask you to pick up this book. It's one of these books that is extremely helpful for understanding the current climate in the American church, what is happening, and we have to be discerning, my friends. Discernment is so crucial in our day. The book of 1 John tells us to test the spirits to see whether they be of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Okay, so Naming Our Captivity, Chapter 2, Moralistic Therapeutic Deism. Horton starts this chapter by talking about a mainline theologian who explained to him his experience at an evangelical megachurch not too long ago. He attended on Easter. And there was no sense, of course, as he went into the service, that there was any meeting with a holy God, that there was any calling from God summoning these people to worship. The songs, he says, and the feelings were exclusively about the people, but it was not clear whom they were talking about and why, Horton says. So, he goes on to describe what happened in this service. Although it was Easter, there was a message, there was no particular text. It was about how Jesus gives us strength to overcome our personal obstacles in life. So, he had come to an evangelical church to visit, on an Easter Sunday. Horton writes, instead of meeting God in the announcement of a real victory over sin and death by Jesus Christ, he encountered other Christians who were being given fellowship and instructions for making their own Easter come true in their life. This evangelical leader was so disturbed, he said, not even in the most liberal churches I've been in was the service so devoid of Christ and the gospel. It's like the God who? The sermon was something about how Jesus overcame his setbacks, and so can we. This is so common today, I wonder if we're even discerning anymore about what's going on. Take, for instance, Osteen's in his famous book, his very popular book, Your Best Life Now, The 7 Steps to Living at Your Full Potential. Number one, and you always get these sort of step process things in these sermons. Enlarge your vision. Enlarge your vision. Okay? Number two, develop a healthy self-image. Number three, discover the power of your thoughts. Number four, let go of the past. Number five, find strength through adversity. Number six, live to give. Number seven, choose to be happy. Boy, you know, if we look at the whole thrust of the New Testament, the message of the New Testament, the whole exposing of the human heart to show that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? You have to come to an end of yourself. You need to attain to a righteousness that is totally outside of yourself so that you can stand before a holy God on judgment day, the imputed righteousness of Christ. When we look at this self-help stuff, we see what an attack it is on the true gospel. It's almost as if God exists, Horton says, for the pleasure of humankind. You know, he makes an interesting observation. 82% of Americans and the majority of evangelicals believe that Benjamin Franklin's aphorism, God helps those who help themselves, is a biblical quotation. That should be astonishing to us. There's all this assumption out there, says Horton, that Americans have a firm understanding of the basic tenets of Christianity. And so Christianity then, now getting to the really practical, the really relevant stuff is, trust your feelings to guide you. Rely upon these principles that we have for you to be realistic about progress in your life. Set goals and achieve them. Have fun. Stay in good health. Discover and revel in the purpose of your life. And people sit in front of this teaching as if it's something new, as if this is not just basic motivational speaking from the secular world. A few years back, the White Horse Inn, which is a program that airs on Cary on 3:30 on Sundays, encourage you to tune into that. We do support that program here at the Linden United Reformed Church. And anyways, there was an interview of Dr. Schuller, who wrote his book, of course, a few years back, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. And they questioned Schuller on this book and his approach to things. And he said it was appropriate for Calvin and Luther to think theocentrically. But now the scales must tip the other way. This is what Schuller writes in his book, actually. The scales must tip the other way toward the human needs approach. In fact, classical theology has erred in its insistence that theology be, now listen to this, God-centered, not man-centered. So he says it was an error that all study of God should be God-centered and not man-centered. Sin is defined as any act or thought that robs myself or another human being of his or her self-esteem. Now, he's redefining the definition of sin. It's all about self-esteem. And what is hell? It's the loss of pride that naturally follows separation from God. A person is in hell when he's lost his self-esteem. Everything's reinterpreted here in Schuller's approach. Horton asked Schuller how he would interpret the following admonition from Paul to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy 3. But understand this, in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of the self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Horton says, before I was even able to compose my own question, my distinguished guest, this is Schuller, immediately responded to these apostolic words by saying, I hope you don't preach that. It will hurt a lot of beautiful people. I believe this is the approach across the board today in many churches across the land, where they've redefined even the name sin, the meaning of sin, these basic Bible doctrines, and they've reinterpreted them to basically things that hurt our self-esteem. We can't talk about those things. We need to talk about the things that build people up. And so what's happened then, and this makes sense, is that people have sought to go inward to achieve a righteousness and happiness by which they think they will stand before God. A righteousness, their happiness. Horton goes on to expose this. He says, isn't it slightly odd when the world has to complain that the churches are no longer talking about sin? Horton cites another author here who says, exchanging the biblical categories of sin and grace for such therapeutic categories as dysfunction and recovery represents pastoral cruelty. I want everyone to hear that today. That is an extremely important statement. To exchange what God has declared so clearly, because this speaks to the great need for the sinner and how God's going to remedy that need, to exchange all those categories and redefine the whole mission and message of the church is pastoral cruelty. Horton says, to change the subject or downplay the seriousness of this condition, which Schuller does, actually keeps people from the liberating news the gospel brings. The cure, my friends, can only be as radical, he says, as the disease. Isn't that right? Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Who are sinners? They're lawbreakers. They're those who need to be brought all the way down so that they can be lifted up and show how great the gospel is. Look, if the cure is only as radical as the disease has to be pretty bad, because the cure is the Son of God had to die, my friends. He had to go to the cross and face the extreme wrath of God poured out upon him in body and soul. So if God had to do that to his son for people to be forgiven, that means the disease is pretty radical. See how in your face this is to God to redefine and not talk about sin? I want to leave you with something Horton outlines here that even the world picked up on ER, which is a program on one of the news networks on NBC. Lying in a hospital bed while he was dying from cancer, a retired police officer confesses to a chaplain his long-held guilt over allowing an innocent man to be framed and executed. He asks, "How can I even hope for forgiveness?" This man's dying in bed. The chaplain replies, "I think sometimes it's easier to feel guilty than forgiven." "Which means what?" he says. "Then maybe your guilt over his death has become your reason for living. Maybe you need a new reason to go on." "I don't want to go on," says the dying man. "Can't you see I'm dying? The only thing that's holding me back is that I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what comes next." "What do you think that is?" the chaplain gently inquires. Growing impatient, the man answers, "You tell me. Is atonement possible? What does God want from me?" After the chaplain replies, "I think it's up to each one of us to interpret for ourselves what God wants." The man stares at her in bewilderment. "So people can do anything? They can rape, they can murder, they can steal all in the name of God and it's okay?" Growing intense, the dialogue draws to a climax. "No, that's not what I'm saying," the chaplain responds. "Then what are you saying? Because all I'm hearing is some new age, God is love, have it your way crap." "No, I don't have time for this now. You don't understand," the chaplain counters. "No, you don't understand. I want a real chaplain who believes in a real God and a real hell." Missing the point of this man's struggle, the chaplain collects herself and says in the familiar tone of condescension, disguised as understanding, "I hear that you're frustrated, but you need to ask yourself..." "No," the man interrupts. I don't need to ask myself anything. I need answers, and all of your questions and all of your uncertainty are only making things worse." With no more to evaluate than his tone, she encourages calm. "I know you're upset," she begins, provoking his final outburst of frustration. "God, I need someone who will look me in the eye and tell me how to find forgiveness because I'm running out of time." Friends, that's the reality. People need forgiveness, and the cure is only radical as the disease. Well, that's why I'd like to take a moment to invite you then to our 2009 Pacific Northwest Reformation Conference. Look, we've talked about Christless Christianity. Well, you've got to have the antidote. Well, what is that? Christ-centered Christianity. That's the title of the conference, Christ-Centered Christianity in an Age of Spiritual Chaos. Dr. W. Robert Godfrey and I will be speaking at this conference on October 9 and 10. So please come. That's fast approaching. You have an open-ended invite, and the conference is free of charge. Friday, October 9, 7 p.m., Dr. Godfrey will speak, and then we'll have three sessions on Saturday, October 10. The goal of the conference is to be positive in encouraging ministers and church people alike to do as the apostle said. Remember what he said? "I know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified," that all ministers of the gospel would again give themselves to this great goal.
Growing in grace so that we don't groan in disgrace. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. LindenURC.com or 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.